So today, what we are talking about is some information about results from a survey that many of you took. This would have been in summer of 2016, I think. And it was a needs assessment for the entire North Central region. So that's the states up here in the Midwest. All of our extension specialists in aging have a network together. So there's 12 of us total as the extension specialists focused on aging. And we, as a group, were reconvened in, I think it was January of 2016, in order to do some joint multi-state programming efforts and scholarship efforts to try to expand our impact from just the individual state level to being able to take advantage of sort of the economies of scale of having people in different states working on different programming with different expertise. And so one of the things that we did as a network was to develop this needs assessment to help figure out what's going on in aging, what are the needs in aging, and where are people seeing that needs are going to be cropping up in the next few years. And we wanted to do that in order to just have a better assessment of what was actually going on and where we needed to be focusing our efforts as a larger network. And you'll remember that this actually overlapped really nicely with something that I did over around the same time period of talking to educators and surveying them about what they did in the terms of their programming in aging, as well as in health, to try to sort out where we were at and start getting a glimpse of what was needed and where we could go from there. So today I just want to give you the results of that because a lot of you did participate in that survey, and because this information might be useful to share with your county, with your multi-county region, with different groups within your counties to figure out if it resonates with them and if they have different needs and to share out some of the information that we came up with. So if you are following along online, there is a handout. The handout was developed by the North Central Region Aging Network, and it's available to all of the states. And so this is the official handout that we have that was developed by that group. You are welcome to share this, and I'm just going to go over some of the results today. So the goals of this assessment were first to gain an understanding of the aging-related needs in our state and region, and also to gain a better understanding of the current status of aging-related programming. So we offered this to all educators and agents across program areas in all of the 12 states that make up the North Central region for extension. There were a total of more than 1,000 respondents altogether. In Wisconsin, we had 100 people respond, which is great. I'm really pleased with that. Mostly family living or people who identified themselves as family and consumer science educators or agents. But we did have a smattering of people from other program areas as well. And on average, here in Wisconsin, the people who responded had been with Extension for between 6 and 10 years. There was a wide range. People who had just started, people who had been here for much longer. But the average was between 6 and 10 years. And then for the whole region, the average respondent had been here for an extension for between 11 and 15 years. So we've got a lot of experience coming into this survey, and that's really useful. So if you are looking at the handout, what you're going to see is some basic information about the survey itself and who responded, the fact that we had so many family and consumer science, family living people respond is pretty common to what we saw in the other states as well. At the very bottom of that first page, you get a visual of what the whole region looks like. I will note that in Wisconsin, almost 10% of the total responses that the survey got, so that's great. I'm really happy about that.
Hello.
And then there's some information about the service area, where people were covered, whether it was a single county or the entire state or multi-county area or what. So that information is there as well. What's interesting, though, is what we get when we flip to the back page of this handout. And this is the top three needs that were identified by our respondents, current needs, future needs, and then what sort of materials they need. So let me talk about that a little bit and give you some additional information. And I do want to remind people on the phone, if you can mute yourselves, that's really useful because sometimes we get a little bit of feedback or background noise that comes through. So the first thing that's of interest is the top three current needs. And these were related to access, availability, and affordability of healthcare. We had 9% of the sample say that that was their top need, or one of their top needs. Chronic disease prevention and management, 8.4% said that that was critical. And transportation, almost 8% said that that was critical as well. So of those who identified access, availability, and affordability of healthcare as one of their top three issues, around 1 in 5, about 20%, reported that they already had a program in place to support that need. And most often what they reported was something along the lines of health insurance education. When we look at chronic disease prevention and management, almost 50% of people reported that they already had a program to support that, and that was things like dying with diabetes, a program called Keys to Embracing Aging, Strong Women, Strong Bones, programs like that. That are related to chronic disease self-management or prevention or health in general. And then of those who reported that transportation was one of their top three issues, almost 20% said that they had a program in place to support that need. And most of the time it was some local community transportation company or initiative or organization that was providing transportation assistance to older adults or people with disabilities. Some of the other top needs that didn't make the top three but were really high on the list were things like informal caregiving and caregiver support, access to affordable and safe housing, nutrition and food safety, social connectedness, retirement planning, among others. So those are what people are seeing as the current needs. And what I summarize from that is when we look at who has programming for those, there are programs that meet those needs, but not necessarily, they aren't necessarily as widespread as they could be. And maybe that's because of availability of the programs or usability of the programs. And maybe that's because of competing priorities that educators have in these areas. So now we're going to move to the top three future needs related to aging. The first one here was, again, access, availability, and affordability of healthcare. This is clearly a big issue that people are seeing in their areas. The second one was access to affordable and safe housing. And the third one was transportation. Here's where things get pretty interesting. For people who identified access, availability, and affordability of healthcare as a top three future need, 10% said that they had a program in place to support that. But nobody who reported that they had a program in place was able to identify a specific program. So they said a very small number of people said, hey, yeah, I have a program for that. But they didn't give any specifics. So it's some sort of program that was a little bit more intangible or was kind of being done as a one-off or ad hoc programming. Among those who identified access to affordable and safe housing as a top three issue, only about 9% said they had a program in place, and most often that program was RentSmart, which may not necessarily target, it doesn't target older adults specifically, although I'm sure there's modifications that can be done to make that happen. And so it might not be fully meeting the needs for older adults, whereas it does meet needs for a lot of other purposes. And then for transportation, again, 8% reported that they had a program in place to meet that need, but nobody could identify exactly what that program was. And so that's another area where people feel like they've got something that meets that need, but maybe are not able to articulate it. And so maybe it's not as systematic or as packaged as it could be to be really helpful. And then there were other commonly cited needs, included financial security, chronic disease management, informal caregiving and caregiver support, social connectedness, a number of others that people identified as being important but didn't make the top three. So one of the other things that we asked people to do, and I don't think this shows up on our, oh, it does, the perceived importance of community needs. So when we asked people, if you look down to the next section, when we asked people to rank the aging-related topics by their degree of importance, people identified finances as being the most important, followed by healthy and aging, and aging-friendly communities, and then you can see the rest of the top 10 on that list. And they felt the most valuable programs included nutrition, physical activity, falls prevention, and then you can see the others of the top 6 there. I think it's interesting that brain health and farm succession and diabetes management all appeared specifically as well. Okay. So let me look down at the last thing that I want to talk about here. So the last thing that I want to talk about are the materials, the topic areas and materials that are needs for people. So the three most commonly identified topic areas where respondents said they needed materials were nutrition and food safety, chronic disease prevention and management, and informal caregiving and caregiver support. And most often, the respondents wanted things like in-person programs that they could offer to support those things, fact sheets, and online resources. For informal caregiving, it's interesting that flipped a little bit. The highest ranked material distribution method that people wanted there was online resources, followed by in-person programs. So it seems like those online resources, our respondents felt like they were more valuable for things like informal caregiving and caregiver support. So that basically is the summary of what we're seeing here. What we're seeing is needs that are pretty resonant along the lines of things like healthcare, things like chronic diseases, transportation, but also finances, healthy aging, and aging-friendly communities. And that's interesting to me because there are a lot of programs that we have related to those, but it sounds like there are also needs, and in particular, needs for shorter programs and more easily accessible off-the-shelf programs that don't require a lot of preparation that can just be pulled and used in a variety of settings. So my question for you related to this is, how does this resonate with you? Are you seeing these same needs in your individual communities? Does this feel like it's right for you in your local setting? Or do you feel like this is kind of separate from what you see on a local level, even though it's representative of what we see on the regional level? Anyone want to share out on that?
This is Karen Anata, and I was thinking it'd be great to do a similar needs assessment, if you could, with some clientele and maybe our collaboration members.
Yeah, so that is actually, as a network, that's on our list of things to do. We wanted to start by getting information from the educators specifically to figure out what is happening and what educators see the needs are, and then also configure something using that information to get information from community organizations and partners. That's not something that we have accomplished yet, but it's on the list of things to do because we agree that that's important information. And being able to sort of triangulate what is needed on the broader level by using both the educators who do this every day and the partners who have a different perspective on what is needed and what can be useful for them and for their clientele is definitely going to be helpful. One of the things that we're trying to do is figure out as a region what the biggest need is so that we can target our, like, multi-state programming towards that, but recognizing the fact that on an individual and local level, that varies a lot. So what might be, it might be that transportation is a really big need across the region, but on a local level, that may or may not resonate with what individuals and community groups and individual cities or counties need as well. Yeah, but we are working on that.
And politically, I don't understand what's happening in terms of what's going to be there for healthcare.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a big issue. And in fact, I'm sure some of you are aware of the Covering Wisconsin resource, and some of you might not be. Covering Wisconsin is partially funded by Extension, and they do a lot of they have these really great fact sheets, info sheets that break down how healthcare works in a really clear and digestible way, and even in some cases give step-by-step instructions for what people need to do. And so that's everything from how to, what to think about when you're choosing a health plan and how to sign up for a health plan, all the way through to how to prepare for a doctor's appointment, how to talk on the phone with someone if you need to check in on your medical records or if you need to call insurance. They just have a really great resource for those fact sheets to help with that. And that's not programming exactly, but it is fact sheet information that could be useful for communities that have these concerns about access, availability, and affordability of healthcare. It helps a lot. So I will post the Covering Wisconsin link to the Coffee Break site so that you have that available as a resource for anyone who's interested in sharing those out. But they're really, really fantastic resources. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any thoughts on whether they feel like they have adequate programming in these areas? Transportation in particular, I think programming is hard because it is so local and because it's not something that we as extension educators necessarily do. It's something maybe that educators facilitate or on coalitions that have interest in that. But it's a tricky situation to deal with transportation, and there isn't necessarily, I think, off-the-shelf programming that's available to help with that, even in just informing and invigorating interest in coming up with transportation solutions that work for older adults and people with disabilities. So the other resource that I want to point people back to, again, and I think most of you know about this by now, that educator library that is on the same website as the Coffee Breaks, supporting an aging state, it's in progress. We're still building it up, but the educator library is the result of the local needs assessment that I did when I was first starting here to figure out what programming is happening related to aging across the state. And it's basically a catalog of what people have done in the past couple of years and how you can get more information. So if you are looking for programming on finances or healthy aging or family-related topics or informal caregiving, that's a good place to start. And it's not completed yet, but we're working on it. It will get there. And it gives you information about if it's an off-the-shelf program, whether or not it's evidence-based, if there's someone who has done the program that you can contact for more information, and it really is broad and hopefully will be useful as people identify needs or if they realize that they maybe have a program that works but they need something that's a one-off session to address a different issue, or people who are delving into aging for the first time may be able to use that as a way to sort of figure out what programming they might want to use to dip their toe into the waters if they see this as an up-and-coming issue in their communities. So do use that, and again, it's a work in progress, so it will continue to be filled out, but it's about half full right now, and what's up there is hopefully useful to at least get you started. And of course, you're always welcome to ping me or one of your mentors or colleagues throughout Extension to get additional help if you're trying to figure out some sort of programming or some sort of situation that you can offer some help to your community in terms of aging. Any other thoughts, questions, comments?
Hi, this is Marianne. I was just thinking about the issues that you were looking at and how the work that the aging-friendly communities and, you know, what you've mentioned really addresses some of those. So I think
yeah. It
ties in nicely and supports the work that's being done.
Yeah, I was interested to see that aging-friendly communities was ranked as number 3 of the importance of community needs. Finances and healthy aging, it may absolutely make sense that those are the top 2, but to see that aging-friendly communities ranked number 3 and the fact that we have a resource to help with that we can continue to improve and modify and work with is, I think, encouraging and something that I've also shared out with the Aging Network so that they know about that resource as well And we can look at ways that we can extend that beyond just Wisconsin, if it works and if it's useful, and if other counties and communities and states see that there's something that works for them in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I will use that as a plug to say that anyone who's interested in doing work in aging-friendly communities, that facilitation guide is something that you can start using now. And if you want to join a community of practice related to that, meaning a community where basically a group that you can go to with questions and troubleshooting, and so that we can talk through how to do that programming in a way that works in your local community setting, please let me know, because I will add you to that list, and we will be able to provide some group support on that as well. All right, so with that, I will keep it short. I always like it when we keep these short, because I know that people are busy, and there's not a lot of time in the day to spend talking about certain issues. So I will keep this short. I will say that our next session is going to be February 2nd, and I am really excited about this, because you're going to have a guest speaker. Her name is Gail Hussey. You may know her. I actually might be pronouncing that wrong, come to think of it. But you may know her because she is part of Extension. She's in the broadband communication and e-commerce area. And she's going to be talking about connected aging communities, so the efforts that they are going through to create some better broadband connections throughout the state, and specifically a pilot project that they are working on to test out how that works and what the outcomes are when they do that in a rural community versus an urban community. So I think that that will be a really interesting guest talk, to just learn a little bit more about the issues that we hear about all the time in terms of broadband access and internet savvy among older adults throughout our state. So with that, if you have any follow-up questions or need more information, please email me or contact me. Otherwise, I hope that you all have a lovely day and a lovely weekend, and stay warm, and hopefully come Sunday or Monday get to get outside a little bit when the weather breaks. Everybody take care.
Thank you.